James chapter 1, look at verse 19. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You see that? The wrath of man works not, does not work righteousness. The righteousness of God. Tells us three things here. He says, be swift to hear. Be willing to listen. It's all right. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Watch what you say. Slow to wrath. Slow to lose your temper. To wrath. To get angry. Father, we ask that you bless tonight now the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, let me say this. There's no chance of this sermon really helping you a whole lot unless you have been born again. Unless you have been saved. Because you can walk out of here tonight and maybe improve your temper just a little bit. But it won't get you to heaven unless you've been saved, you see. So, first of all, tonight, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you ought to get that thing settled tonight before you go home. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because you could die tonight. And if you die without God, you'll end up in hell, according to the Scripture. And I can't change that. I don't like hell, but there is a hell. And people that are saved go to heaven. Two kinds of people in this world, lost and saved. So get the most important thing in your life settled. Get yourself on your way to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago. He was buried and he rose again the third day so that every man and every woman, every boy and every girl in this room could go to heaven. And it would be a tragic waste to die and go to hell. Wouldn't it be something for you to live in this life, make a lot of money, maybe be successful in the world, and die and go to hell? Person could be the president of the United States. If he was not saved and he died and went to hell, he would waste his life. It's a shame. But that's the most important thing before you deal with any kind of problem that you may have in your life. Make sure you're saved. Amen. There is nothing any more important than that. We live in this life. God has made a lot of people. There's been a lot of people born. And God has created man just to see if that person will get saved. God knows, of course. So get that settled tonight. If you're in this room and you're not saved, when the invitation is given, drop your pride and say, preacher, I won't go to hell for anybody. I'm coming forward and getting saved. Amen. And we'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you tonight how to go to heaven. And you could leave here saved. But let's say tonight, everybody's saved. I don't know your heart. I don't know anybody's heart tonight. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I go by what you tell me. But I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. We don't know each other's heart. We know what we see. I tell you tonight, I know I'm saved because I trusted Jesus Christ. That's what you have to go on. And you tell me you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what I have to go on. That's the only thing we have. I believe you. You believe me. And we know we're saved by faith. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. All right. One of the biggest, or the number one problem, should I say, in this country is this. Children mad at their daddies. I mean, if you were to stop for just a moment and ask children, what is the main thing in your life right now that's bothering you? And I'd say 70-80% would say, I'm mad at my father. Or I'm mad at my mother. There's something that they've done, and I'm angry about it. This is the problem. I hope there's no one in this room like that, but there may be some kids in here right now. You say, my problem, I've been mad at the way my father treats me or the way my mother treats me. I want to deal tonight, first of all, number one, recognizing the symptoms of a bad temper. Now, if you go to the doctor and you say, I go to the doctor sometimes and think I have the flu. The doctor will ask you, well, let's see, do you have a runny nose? It's a symptom. Do you feel kind of achy? That's a symptom. Are you running any fever? That may be a symptom. The doctor looks for symptoms of the flu. Do you know that if a person has a bad temper, they need to recognize the symptoms? I'm going to give you a few of those tonight. Some of these may not describe you, but there's some in this room that part of these will describe you. Some may not, but if you have a problem with your temper sometimes, you'll recognize some of these symptoms that lead to a bad temper. Just like the flu, you're going to have some symptoms. For a person to have a bad temper, they have to have some symptoms. For example, number one, impatience. Have a tendency to raise your voice easily when something bothers you. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now there's a lot of folks, the first, if they have a bad temper, they have no problem raising their voice. That's one of the big symptoms in their life. They get loud. Secondly, some folks have an angry look. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that you just knew was mad by the way they look. Okay, you know. Or maybe they showed their teeth, you know. Or there was just something about the expression. Every time they get mad, they show it. They have a look about them. That's one symptom. May not have all of these. You may have five or six of these, but they all lead to the same thing. Number three, here's another symptom of a bad temper. This is going to surprise some of you. Silence. Hang on. When you're disappointed in your children or in your spouse, some folks give them the silent treatment. They think that they're doing the right thing. But if you're mad, for example, at your child, and you don't talk to them, I hate to disappoint you, but that's a symptom of a bad temper. Kids don't like the silent treatment, and your spouse does not like the silent treatment. You know, that really hurts a lot of people, especially in a marriage relationship, when you get mad and you won't even talk to that person, but yet you say, if I don't talk, then there won't be an argument. No. Bottom line is, silence sometimes is a symptom of a bad temper. Number four. Harshness. Unpleasant to the ears is what harshness means. Overly stern sometimes. Stern. Now, I'm not saying there's not times you have to be stern with your child. But a lot of times, mamas and daddies, for example, are stern, they're harsh all the times with their youngest, and the kids take it as, you don't love me. Sometimes the spouse takes it as, if he really loved me, he wouldn't be so harsh with me all the time. But what the problem may be tonight, a symptom of a bad temper. Not only that, but here's another symptom. I think you'll agree with me on this one. Name calling. A lot of times when folks get mad, they call their children name, or they call their wife or their husband names. And I want you to know, kids especially, have a way of remembering names. And wives never forget them. Amen? Amen, Brother Billy. I'm sure tonight a lot of folks will recognize these symptoms tonight, not only you. But name calling is a symptom. Here's another one. Violence. There are probably not too many of you run into that one. But there are some people, when they have a bad temper, when they get mad, they break things. They break things in the house. They throw things around. They'll get a vase and they'll smash it, or they'll put their fists in the wall and they'll say, "I'm doing that, honey, so I won't hit you." That's not too encouraging. I tell you, I might run on that one if I was a woman. Amen. The first time, you know. But I mean, there are some that they say, "I have to do that or I would lay her out." I would think that most in here would agree that violence, slapping, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a man or the woman, that's definitely a symptom of a bad temper. Here's another one. Number seven, this one here, some people have a flush face. Now, what do you mean by that? I don't know, but there's some people, when they have a bad temper, get real red when they're mad. Me being dark complected, I can kind of hide it, you know? Amen. You too, Brother Robert. But if a person's really light skinned, for example, a lot of times when they're mad, that blood will rush to the face and they'll get real red. Not everybody does that, but there's some folks that is a symptom for them. Number eight, here's another one. This is a strong one. Sarcasm. Now, sometimes parents will use this one to their child. Sarcasm. "Boy, you're really smart. Man, you're smart, all right." And what the parents don't realize is that hurts the child. It's sarcasm. Or you tell your wife or your husband, "Boy, you're smart. You're really something." And they use this because it comes out simply because it's one of the symptoms of a bad temper. Number nine, here's another one. I think you'll agree with this one. Cursing. Now, there are some people that curse their spouse or the husband or wife or their children sometimes when they're mad. And I want you to know that kids will remember this. We've got to watch this. If you're in this room and your weakness when you get mad is cursing, whether you be the mama or the daddy or a man or a woman, you need to remember something. That when you say harsh words like cursing at that person, they have a tendency to remember it, especially kids. They remember, "My dad, all he'd do when he got mad, he cussed me out. Curse me." And they grow up, become teenagers, and become young adults. All they could remember, instead of remembering some of the good things, but they remember the fact that their dad cursed them often. And that is a symptom of a bad temper. Here's another one, number 10. Another symptom is threatening. Now watch it. Retaliation. For example, "If you do that again, I'm going to leave you." But watch that. That's a symptom of a bad temper. You know, a lot of times, whether it be the man or the woman, they'll threaten the other and say, "If you ever do that again, I'm gone." You better watch that, because you're probably going to say that many times. There's always going to be some reason for you to think you ought to go. There's just no way around it. It's just a lifestyle. I mean, it's part of life. So be very careful. When you threaten, remember that you're making the one that you love live in fear. You don't want a relationship like that anyway. You don't want to keep your spouse out of making him or her afraid. I mean, men and women are bad about that. "If you do that again, I'm gone. I'm going to leave you if you come back late one more time. Or if you say that again." It's a symptom, what it is, of a bad temper. Threatening to gain control. Number 11. This one hurts. Comparison. Now, parents are real bad on this one sometimes. "Why can't you be like your older brother? Why can't you be like that girl I used to date?" Boy, that really gets you in trouble. "Why can't you be like Brother Robert's wife?" Or something like that. comparing. Now, I want you to know that hurts, folks. And especially if you have two or three kids in a family, and you say, why can't you be like your older brother? Those kids, that's devastating to them. Devastating. They grow up thinking, my mother and daddy loved him more than they loved me. You got to be very careful here. This is simply a symptom of a bad temper. Number 12, here's another one. Mocking. That's frustrating the hopes of that person. Ridiculing that person. Sometimes mocking is to imitate or to make fun of that person. It really hurts a wife or a husband when you make fun of them. I mean, sometimes folks do that kiddingly. I know that. But I'm talking about it when you have a bad temper sometimes, then a lot of times the way folks retaliate when they're angry is to mock or to make fun of that person. And it doesn't matter whether it's the man or the woman. It's wrong, but still it is a symptom. Number 13, rejection. This one really hurts. In other words, rejection means to refuse or to deny that loved one like kindness. You get mad and you deny that, for you reject what you are supposed to do, the responsibility that you have as a husband or the responsibility that you have as a wife. You deny that person kindness. You deny that person love. Women are real bad when they get angry of denying the husband of sex. Awfully quiet now. I've had a lot of them tell me, and I've heard a lot of women say, if he's going to act like that, I'm going to show him he's not going to have me for a while. I'll straighten him out. I know where I can get to him. You know what that is? That's a symptom of a bad temper. Amen. Defrauding. Yeah. Go ahead. Amen. I mean, y'all came tonight to get something that'll help you. Amen. I mean, some men do that too. Normally, it's not as aggressive with the man in this way. It's more aggressive, that is, with... I mean, it's not as aggressive with the women in this respect, but it's more aggressive with the men. And a lot of times, ladies, especially when they're mad or they want something, they use this to get the point across or to get their way. And it's wrong, whether it be the man or the woman. Rejection sometimes to belittle. This is wrong. Rejection means that you hurt the self-esteem of the other, whether it be man or woman. And it makes that person feel rejection that you resent their presence. It's a tactic. It's a way to get one's way. It's an effort to dominate sometimes. And rejection is a symptom. Resent the other opinion sometimes. Verbal abuse. Saying hurtful things. Verbal abuse. When you're angry, and you know something, we as men got to be careful. We work hard and we come home and we're tired, and the one target that we shouldn't have but we do have is the wife. She lives with us and she's an easy target. And when we're not feeling well or we get mad at somebody on the job, we come home and we take it out on her. And sometimes women are this way. Women are on the workforce. They get angry with another lady at the job, and they come home and then they start nagging and they start spouting off at their husband and even cursing sometimes. Two wrongs never make a right. It doesn't matter whether it's the man or the woman. It is still rejection, and it is a symptom that there is a problem. Now, I've covered about 13 of these. You say, preacher, four or five of those is mine. Well, that means, let me just say that. You say, I don't have a real big problem with my temper, but if you have these symptoms, The potential's there.
Now, if you don't have any of these symptoms, you men in here do not have any of these symptoms, I'm going to sit down and let you preach. Amen. I'm going to sit down and let somebody else pastor a while, brother. Amen. Because I'm sure that we all, if we're honest tonight, see a few symptoms there. Even if we are able to control our temper, and we don't have a major problem with it, but if those symptoms are there, that means it's kind of like, I think the word would be acute. You know, some diseases are acute, they call it. It's not devastating, but it's there. Kind of lingers. If we're not careful, one of these things will come out and really devastate us sometimes. So be the fact tonight that you recognize that there is a problem, then deal with that. All right, we've dealt with the symptoms. Number two, recognize where a bad temper comes from. That's the next thing. We find a couple of scriptures here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, this is not your normal sermon. It's more of a teach-preach type, but I hope it'll help you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Some of you memorized this scripture in the college. Recognize where a bad temper comes from. Number one, it comes from the sin nature. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everyone in this room has a sin nature. And that sin nature puts these things, that's where it comes from. It's in us. And the bottom line, everyone in here probably has some of these symptoms, but you need to learn how to deal with it. It's because of that old Adam nature that you have. It is wicked. Adam nature is against God. The old sin nature is anti-Christ. The old sin nature is anti-what's right. And it causes the problems that we have in our life. Number one is from the sin nature. Secondly, we find another one in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. I'll read it to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Colossians 3, verse 8 and 9. Paul's speaking here and he says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." I find number two, it's a work of the flesh. Temper is not a God. It comes from the sin nature, and a bad temper that's not controllable or gets out of control is a work of our flesh. So therefore, now that we have identified where it comes from, now we are going to deal tonight now with how to get victory over a bad temper. Remember something, it gives ground to the devil. A person that loses their temper often, and I mean often, all the time, this is a big weakness. You give place to the devil in your life, and it makes you feel real bad when you give into it often, because it helps you to recognize where your weakness is. And we need to learn to get victory over this. And everyone in this room can get victory tonight if this is a problem. If you're in this room and it's not your problem, then you'll recognize the symptoms tonight, and this will help you be even stronger. How to get victory over a bad temper. Number one, learn how to have mercy on others. In other words, learn the very mercy of God. Remember what God did for you when He saved you. God took you just like you were. A dirty, stinking, good-for-nothing, rotten sinner with this sin nature and with that flesh that you have. God took you just like you were, and He never turned you down. When you came to Christ, He never said, "I'm going to reject you." He never said, "Go back and sit down. I'm not going to save you." God took you just like you were, and He took you with all of your weaknesses. And He took you because He's merciful. Tonight, we need to learn the mercy of God. We find over here in Matthew chapter 18, Matthew 18, something that is in the Bible here. Matthew 18. Peter had come to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18. Stick with me now. Listen closely. We're down to where it can help you. Matthew 18, verse 21 and verse 22. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" In other words, he says, "Should I forgive him seven times?" Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Oh, you mean 490 times? You mean, preacher, how to count them? Nobody counts them. That's the whole idea. Jesus forgives over and over and over. Every time we come to Him and we beg forgiveness of our sins, the mercy of God takes over. Jesus said, "I'll forgive you," over and over. And if a brother comes to you and he begs forgiveness, you forgive him over and over and over. That's the kind of mercy that Christ has for you and I. "I ain't going to do that, preacher. So-and-so hurts me 2-3 times. They've had it. I'll have nothing to do with them anymore. And I rest my case." You've got a problem tonight. Come tonight and say, "God, help me to learn Your mercy tonight. Learn the mercy of God that saved you and saved me, and the mercy of God that forgives you and I over and over and over. Learn this kind of mercy." All right, secondly, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for the second one. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I said, number one, learn how to have mercy on others, or learn the mercy of God. That'll help you with your temper. Secondly, Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible tells us here, in verse 26 and verse 27. See, there's a certain place here where you can have anger, but yet not sin. Look at verse 26. "Be ye angry and sin not." But here's how you avoid turning it into sin. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Secondly, don't go to bed angry. You have a difference with your spouse? Don't one of you turn your back and get in that bed and ignore your spouse and say, thinking you're doing the right thing, thinking you're going to cut down on the trouble by going to bed and ignoring that situation. That's one of the worst things that you can do. What does it do? It gives place to the devil. See what it says in verse 27? "Neither give place to the devil." When you go to bed and let the sun come down on your wrath, you're opening the door for the devil to come into your life, into your home. It's a major problem. In other words, if you have a problem, get it all straightened out before you go to bed. If you have to stay up all night, do it. If you have to stay up talking about it and dealing with it and getting it straight, it's worth doing that than going to bed and giving place to the devil. And sometimes there's a spouse, whether it be the man or the woman, will ignore the other one, and that'll be part of their punishment by going to bed angry. That's another way to deal with your temper. If you can learn to sit down, work out the differences this way, you're on your way. All right, number one, learn the mercy of God. Number two, don't go to bed angry. Number three, we find over in Philippians chapter 2, just go to Ephesians and then to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, he tells us something here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when I look at that, I see something here about rights. In other words, there's some rights that we refuse to yield. Now, watch what I'm going to tell you. We need to learn this about our temper. I really don't have the right to do this. According to the Scripture, I really don't have these rights. So what you do, learn to give your rights over to God. Amen. Give it to Him. Say, God, I have this problem, and I know it's not right. I have trouble handling it. Give these rights to the one that can help you. Our Heavenly Father, give those rights to God. There are some things we really don't have a right to do, but we do them. Mainly because we live in America and we think we can. We have no right, for example, to go to bed angry. But we do it. Doesn't make it right. Let's give these rights to God. All right? Rights that we claim we have. Turn to the next one. I've got six of these. Number four, look over at Matthew chapter 18 for the next one. Matthew 18. This one right here is a beautiful picture here. A beautiful picture here of dealing with a temper problem. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Verses 23 through verse 25. Matthew 18. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of God likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now notice here the example, verse 27. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, now this is the one that was forgiven of the debt, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Notice that he had owed God 52,800,000. That's how much he owed this person, 10,000 talents. This person had owed the one that was forgiven 100 pence, or maybe $44. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And watch it now. And he would not. But went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Because thou desireth me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." I'm telling you all this. So there's a lesson here that number four, we learn to forgive past debts. I mean, there's not a person in here that somebody doesn't owe you something. Maybe it's in your home. I'm talking about there's something somebody no doubt owes you. And even in a marriage situation, there's a certain amount of obligation that one has for one another. Learn to forgive things of the past. Arguments, maybe. Something that the husband did 5 months ago, or something he did 5 years ago, or something that she said last week. Learn to release people of these debts. These are debts that we're causing the other one to feel they have to pay, and we keep them in debt. We need to learn to forgive past debts. This is how we get victory over a bad temper. A person that can stop tonight and come forward and say, "I'm going to forgive my husband for how he's treated me. I'm going to forgive my wife for the way she's treated me over the last year." You're on your way. But most of the time, we don't forgive them. All right? And then number five. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. To the next one. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 31. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness, wrath and anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Simply, number five, repent of bitterness. Bitterness. Folks get bitter with one another. You get bitter with people on the job. You get bitter with your children. Children sometimes get bitter at the parents. We've got to learn to repent. We talk about repenting. That means to turn from it. Turn from your bitterness that you have. Bitterness sometimes develops in a relationship. If you can do that tonight, you're on your way. And then number six, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number six, confess it. Amen. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one with the power, the one that has the ability to forgive us. Confess it to Him. Amen. Repent of your bitterness, then come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sin of a bad temper. Did you get these points now? Learn, number one, to have mercy on others. Number two, don't go to bed angry. Number three, yield some of these rights. Number four, forgive past debts. Number five, repent of bitterness. And simply, number six, confess it. You do these things here, you're on your way. Now, you say, "Preacher, tonight, this is my problem. I have a bad temper." Well, here's how you deal with it. Come tonight, the old-fashioned aisle, and bring it to the Lord. Be willing to do these things tonight. You say, "Preacher, I can do a couple of them. That'll help." You say, "I can't do all six, but I can do a couple of them." That you're on your way. Maybe tonight you need to come and ask God to help you to have mercy. You're willing to do that. Or maybe you can come tonight and make a commitment to God, say, "I'm not going to go to bed angry anymore." Or maybe you say, "I can't forgive past debts right now, but I can repent of some bitterness." If you can do all of them, that'd be great. But if you can come and do a couple of them, you're on your way tonight. That's sort of like a building blocks, kind of promoting yourself. By the glory of God, you promote yourself to a couple of these. And you're on your way. Every head bowed, every eye closed.